Up, Sojourn! Welcome to the living room, or TLR for short. We're so excited that you're here, if you can tell from Nate's excitement over
every
there.
Week, I'm so excited!
Yeah, we're so excited that you're here. But if this is your first time, we want to welcome you. Welcome to the living room. You might be wondering, what is the living room? Where am I? Those are some good questions. And the living room is just a place where we get to talk about life, we get to talk about faith, and everything in between. And we think that that's so important because none of us have life figured out, and we definitely don't have faith figured out either. And we want to do that together because we're better together. And so that's why we're so glad that you're here and that you're joining us. This is our second week in a brand new series called Brand New, which just shows our creativity. But if you haven't watched the first episode yet that we premiered last week, we want you to leave now and go watch that and then come back and watch this because it'll really set us up for what we're talking about this week. So if you haven't watched it, we'll miss you, but we really suggest you go back and watch that one first. But
I will remember you.
Thanks for the singing, Nate. Yeah, that was so nice.
Yeah, miss you guys. Bye.
All right.
See you later.
So if you're here, still here now, that means you watched the first episode and you're ready for part
or a
liar. Two. Yeah, that too. But to get us started and to make sure that Nate and I aren't the only ones talking because that would be boring and lame, we have a really fun question to ask you to test in the chat box right next to my face. Make sure that you're using that. But here's our question. What's the funniest mistake that you've ever made? What's the funniest mistake you've ever made?
Oh, you go first.
Okay. This is actually kind of a really embarrassing story, but it's funny now, not at the time. But when I think I was probably around 8 and my younger sister was 6 and we were alpine sliding in Colorado. So you have to like go up a ski lift and I had never been on a ski lift before. And you're not wearing skis, and so you're, like, just in your regular shoes. And since I had never been on a ski lift before, I thought that the safety net was a trampoline, and I thought that that was where you were supposed to get off. And so my sister and I are, like, getting up there, like, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. We, like, raise the bar, and then I'm like, Abby, jump! And so we get off, and we jump onto the safety net, and our feet are, like, dangling over the side. The ski lift like goes over our heads and like they have to stop the ski lift and like come and like pull us up. And thankfully we were okay, but
you didn't die.
Yeah. That would have been a big fail as a big sister if I that was probably
that
my worst thing fail as a big sister.
If I was your sister, I wouldn't let you forget that.
Yeah, she still doesn't.
Good.
But
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, that is my most embarrassing mistake. Now you guys all know and you can kind of dirt against me.
That's funny. When you're saying that, it reminded me of this one time my family was like going on a cross country trip. And we stopped at a rest area, whatever. And I didn't see any other cars there. We were like in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see any other cars there. And so my mom goes into the bathroom. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to scare her.
Oh, no.
We're going to come out. And the first one that came out, I go, boo, and scare him. Where's my mom? And I was I still kind of feel, about it. Like, I literally, like, and I just ran to my car and got in the back seat and buried my head.
Yeah.
And my family was just laughing and making fun. I didn't even say sorry. I just booked it and ran to the car. I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to die.
Oh, my gosh.
This is so embarrassing.
That's the thing. Like, with mistakes like that, we, like, you still feel that. Even now, like, I literally still feel that feeling of getting off the ski lift on the safety net, mind you, thinking it was a trampoline. I don't know how I ever thought that. But we want to know, what are some of your most funniest or embarrassing mistakes that are in the comments right now? I'm really looking forward to seeing what some of those are.
Yeah, be honest with us. Right? We give you dirt. Give us some dirt on you now, okay?
Come on. That's the only way to be fair, right? But last week, we talked about how we all want our lives to be better and how we all want to be happy, right? I mean, not many of us wake up every single day and we're like, man, I really wish life was harder or I really wish I was a little bit more sad today.
Definitely
honestly,
not in 2020.
I don't think that any of us are thinking that, especially not in 2020. And the truth is that life is full of a lot of pain. Most of it is unavoidable, but some of it is avoidable pain and some of it like getting off a ski lift too early, is pain that we cause on ourselves. And if you're like me, you don't like that at all. And the thing is that everyone has suggestions for how to try to fix that pain, whether it's the gym or Target, like we talked about last week, video games. Everyone seems to have a suggestion for how to make our lives better, how to make us happier. But I think the problem is that a lot of us, we don't really even understand what the main problem is, and we go about trying to fix things that we don't really even know what's wrong to begin with. And I have a quote to share from our good pal, Albert Einstein.
You're just friends with everybody, Sarah.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
so good.
People like me.
Albert was a genius.
He was. He was a real genius, actually. But he said, if I have an hour to solve a problem, I'd spend 55 minutes thinking about the problem and 5 minutes thinking about solutions. And I think that's so key, because what he's saying there is that the real step to solving a problem is actually understanding what the problem is to begin with. And I think that's what, where a lot of us like mess up sometimes, is that we try to find solutions to things that we don't even realize are the problems. And it's really clear when you look around the world that there's a lot of problems. There's so much pain in the world, so much hurt, and there's just a lot of problems that we could be finding solutions to. But I want to ask you guys, and feel free to answer this in the chat, but what are some of the problems in the world that break your heart, or some things that upset you about the world that we live in? Nate, what about you?
Yeah, for me, one of my biggest passions is fighting. So it's just in really anything with kids. Like, I'm really passionate about like adopting and foster care and like kids that deserve a family or need a family. And then, but it's in the same vein as like, I'm also passionate about like fighting human trafficking, because unfortunately a lot of like the trafficking that happens is kids, you know? And so I just really anything with kids will get me passionate. Tutoring kids, after school program, I mean, like, there's a lot of that. And so it breaks my heart to see kids that don't have the same opportunities that I've had, or that are struggling with something. And so, yeah. But the two biggest are definitely like the anti-human trafficking stuff and adopting,
yeah,
fostering.
Those are two huge things in the world. And something that breaks my heart is just seeing how much pain and division that there is in the world over just everything, and just seeing how much people can hurt each other. And it just breaks my heart to see relationships that are affected because of disagreements. And I just think that that is something that is definitely a big problem in our world as well.
Yeah. And so what about for you guys? We'd love to hear, you know, I know it's kind of a downer question, but what are the things that when you look at life, you're like, oh, this could be better, this should be better? What are those things? And as you're thinking about those, I want to dive into where this is going to take us and how this is going to help us make our life better, or at least help us wrestle with how can we make our life better. Because as you're answering, I'm going to guess that nobody in that chat box right now, if you haven't answered yet, you're like, wait, what was I about to say? I'm going to put this in there. But I'm going to guess nobody in that chat box said that they're part of the problem, okay? I didn't when I answered,
no.
Okay? You didn't either. Most of the time when we ask the question, you know, what is wrong in the world? What is some of the pain you see in the world? We're able to point to other things, you know, like, oh, kids need to be adopted, okay? We're able to point to those things. But very rarely do we look at ourselves and say, I am part of the problem. Okay? Now, I know why we do that, because that's an uncomfortable one. Right now, you're like, oh, I don't, Nate, where are you going? Maybe I should exit now. Okay, just bear with me through this, okay? I'm going to insult all of us, okay? So, be good. No, but, you know, it's one of the things that is fascinating to me. Because think about what we do in our society. None of us would say we're perfect, okay? None of us have the arrogance to be like, I'm perfect. Because if you said that, or if somebody said that to you, you'd be like, well, okay, chill, bro. Like, nobody's perfect. Yet, none of us will point to the things that we do or that we've done that have hurt other people. Yet, we know that we've done it and stuff, but we don't like to admit it and stuff. And, you know, the reason is because, well, it's just, we use this word that, like, we say things like, we've made mistakes, right? Like, all of us would admit we've made mistakes, okay? We just did, okay? You just told us some embarrassing ones. Sarah had a real embarrassing one.
My mine is probably the most embarrassing out of all of ours.
Right. And so, you know, so we admit and say these things and like we've made mistakes and okay, that's cool. But if we're exploring how to make our life better and we want to understand the problem, okay, we need to get into this that the problem, I know this is going to sting, but it's just a warm up. The problem is you. Okay. All right. And I don't mean that like just you. I mean, it's me. Okay. I'm the problem. Sarah is definitely the problem. I'm just kidding. Sarah is the problem, okay? Like, we all are part of this problem in the world. And we don't like that, okay? We like to, like, it's easier for me. I just did it. It's easier for me to say, yeah, Sarah, you're the problem. You guys are the problem, but me, yeah, I just
chill.
You're
the problem too,
okay?
Right?
Hold up. I don't like that, okay? But that is the issue, is that all of us are part of the problem. But, again, using Albert Einstein's quote about how we don't analyze the problem, we just kind of skip past that. And one of the ways in our society we skip past it that's so interesting to me is we use this term mistake, like I keep saying. We say things like, I've made mistakes. But what's so interesting to me about that is that, think about things, you know, that we've seen other people do. We won't come to you yet. Okay. You've ever seen like a celebrity, an athlete, somebody in politics, a politician, and they can fit, they're at this press conference, right? And there's all these microphones and reporters before COVID, and, you know, they're all gathered around. And they're like, and this person, the celebrity, whatever, is admitting and confessing to, like, a 3-year mistake, okay? It's always kind of interesting, you know? Like they blew up their family, they blew up their marriage, their kids, they have a secret credit card, they've been renting hotel rooms, having an affair for 3 years, and they're like, at the end, they could say, and all of a sudden, like, I've made some mistakes. And you thought what I thought when we experienced that. You're like, you know, buddy, you've done some things. And, yeah, I guess mistake is a word for it. But, like, it just seems bigger than a mistake.
A 3-year mistake? Really? Okay. Okay,
you've made the same mistake for 3 years. That's interesting. Okay? But that's what we do in our society. And you do that. And I do that. Now the word that in religious circles, which if you're not religious, you're like, this is one of the reasons whatever he's about to say. And I get it, but just track with me. You don't have to believe any of this yet or ever. It's up to you. But the word that we use to describe this brokenness in the world, the brokenness that you have, that I have, that Sarah has, Sarah definitely has. Anyway, the word that we use is the word sin. Okay, and we do not like that word. Yeah. One of the reasons we do not like that word is that it's a weird word. It's only used in religious context. Sometimes it's used as a weapon. Like, people are like, you're a sinner. And you're like, I don't even know what that means. I was only listening to rap music. Sorry. Like, I don't know. And we don't use this in society. Like, I would never say to Sarah, we need to talk about your sins. Okay, weirdo. Okay. You don't get pulled over by the police and get a sin citation. Okay. Like, okay. You go to court for your sins, right? I don't tell my kids, you've sinned against me. We don't use this word, right? And so, consequently, you know, it's a word we don't use. But it also is just heavy, you know? Like, now you may not really know what sin is, and mixed feelings how people use it, but it's just heavy, you know? Because it's just like, there's something about it that, like, if you admit you sin, it's just like a giant billboard that says, I screwed up, okay? I'm the problem. I messed up. I am toast. I'm finished. I'm done. Whatever, like, it's heavy to admit that, right? And so, again, as we said, we replace this with mistake, because mistake's easier, okay? But, you know, here's where, if you're hating this already, you're going to hate it more. I got to dive into this, because again, I want your life to be better, but we have to understand the problem. And so, I got to twist this knife a little bit here, but mistake is a terrible word for what we do, okay? Think about this, okay? Some of you are going to stress out. Don't worry. I'm not going to tell your names. But I know some of you watching. I know some of your stories that you've told me. Okay? And some of you have purchased tickets and planned your mistakes. Okay? Well, that's interesting. Whatever. That's kind of a weird thing. Okay? Some of you have a stash of mistakes next to your bed right now while you're watching this. Okay? Some of you, I know this, some of you made a mistake before watching and you're planning on your next mistake. What do you call a mistake? You plan, okay? Can you have a premeditated mistake? Okay, like can you really plan your mistakes? Because come on, we're smart enough. We know this. A mistake is something you make on a math test, or as an 8-year-old think a safety net's a trampoline, okay?
Not true.
That's a mistake, okay? But a mistake is when you don't know all the facts, you don't have enough knowledge, you set the coffee maker for 7 p.m. instead of 7 a.m.
Gosh, okay? That's the worst.
It is so bad. Or you take the wrong exit, right? That's a mistake. And what do you do with a mistake? You correct it. You wait for the safety employees to come get you. You know, you remake the coffee. You take the next exit, turn around, and, you know, you fix it, okay?
Yeah.
Right? But here's the thing. Think about your mistakes, okay? Here's a problem. You can't fix yourself. And you know this. You don't need me to tell you. You've tried, okay? And you keep making the same mistake. And that's even an interesting thing. This mistake you keep making it. If it was a math test, you wouldn't keep making the same mistake. Because, again, a mistake you fix, but you can't fix yourself, and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And so this word mistake, I know why we do it. I've done it. But it's a terrible word to explain the problem and explain the brokenness and the pain in our life, right? And so the problem there is that we use this term mistake, but it doesn't adequately address the issue in our life.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I get why we do this. As I said, if you were to say, I'm a sinner, that just sounds so bad. It just sounds so heavy. But here's what I want us to look at, and this is what's important, is that to admit that you've sinned, okay, and that it's deeper than just a mistake, that you did it on purpose, okay, and you're planning to do it again, okay, to make that confession and that admission, to admit that you're a sinner, is the first step to restoration, to restoring relationships, not just with God, but with the people around you and with yourself, okay? And here's the thing, you know this, you know. You may be disagreeing with me, but check this out. You actually know this in your real life because, and Sarah's going to give the example in a second, but like, you know that admitting and confessing that you've done something wrong is the first step to restoration. Sarah has the example, and it's going to blow your mind how smart you are.
You've all been here. Someone's done something that's hurt you, or you've hurt someone else. And what helps when someone's like, sorry, like,
well, that's the worst.
That's the worst. When someone does something that upsets you, it doesn't help when they're just like, fine, I'm sorry. Like,
or they do, right? They go, I'm sorry. Whoa, hold on. Yeah. Is there like three words in there? I'm sorry.
Can you speak up? Like, you're mumbling.
Fine, sorry.
That does not help. That just hurts our relationships more. But what helps to restore relationships is when someone comes up to you and they're like, or you go up to someone and you say, look, I'm really sorry. What I did hurt you. I messed up. I hurt our relationship. How can I make it better? That restores relationships. Just saying, fine, sorry, or I'm sorry, that does not restore relationships. And that's the same thing, like what you were saying before with admitting that we're sinners. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, yeah. And again, think about your relationship with anyone. That is the key to move forward. Because when somebody genuinely apologizes, admits that they were wrong, you then can move forward.
Yeah.
But until that happens, you can't move forward. You know that with your friends, your siblings, your parents, okay? All right? It's no different with God, okay? But again, I know we resist this because it's just more comfortable to say that, well, I've made some mistakes or I'm not perfect. But to say, I'm a sinner, I'm just so heavy, all right? And part of, again, I know why it's heavy because of the way that people like me have used it. Okay, again, I alluded to this. Sometimes it can be used as a weapon. Are we getting like used to control people? And that's a sad experience. But I want us to look at quickly like how Jesus used this and how Jesus talked about this. Because again, in this series, we're looking at something brand new. All right, and what Jesus came to do was so brand new for the world. And what he did, it doesn't fit, honestly, in our current religious system. It definitely didn't fit in the religious system of his day. And it's brand new. There's literally no way else to talk about it.
Brand
like,
new.
It is mind-blowing what he did. Because this is what he did. And if you ever want to fact-check this or talk about this more, Sarah's going to talk about community groups. But quick plug, this is why you should get into a community group. Because you can talk about this. You can call me out. And you can call Sarah out. It's great. But if you also ever want to talk to me or Sarah about this, you can let us know. But this is what Jesus would do. If you want to fact check this, this is found in Matthew 6. You can Google that. But Jesus would raise the standard so high that everybody failed. Okay? It was like, you guys think you know the rules. Okay, like just so you know, the standard's actually so much higher than he thought. And everybody listening is like, well, I failed. I'm doomed. I'm like, you know, I'm sinned. I am toast. And that's how everybody felt. And he said, hey, but that's actually the good news. I'm here for the sinners, okay? I'm here for the doomed people. But until you admit that there's a problem, we can't move forward.
Yeah.
Okay? And it's just, again, any relationship, that's what's true. It's the same with our relationship with God. And so Jesus came and he spent 3 years talking to him. I said, hey, you think that you're okay? It's actually so much worse than you realize, okay? Like, you are so far gone. You're not just kind of part of the problem. You are the problem, okay? All right? Each of you, okay? Again, there's stuff like that little aside, I'm like, who would make this up? That's a terrible way to motivate people. Like, hey, just so you guys know, you've all failed, okay? Right? You can see time and time again Jesus doing this, and he's just like, you failed. And right now you're like, oh, great, this is why I'm not a Christian. But see, that's only half of it. Is that the second half is, but hey, I'm here for the failed people. I'm here for the people that feel doomed. I'm here for the people that admit they're part of the problem. Because when you admit that there's a problem, what can happen now? It can lead to the restoration of the relationship, okay? And unfortunately, too many times when we talk about sin, we only talk about the first half and we don't join it together with the second. One of the times that Jesus is teaching about this, one of the many times, he's talking to a group of people, and there's people that they're called the Pharisees, and they were just good. That was their full-time job, just be good, just perfect. They just thought they were good. They had dumbed sin down so to such mistakes that they thought they never sinned, never made any mistakes. They thought they were perfect, and that was just their job. Be good, let everybody know how much they suck, okay? And that was it. Then there's the other people, the sinners, that they knew they were bad, they knew that there was no hope, and they were like, eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow we may die and go to hell, but at least I know people, okay? At least I'm going to have a good time before we get there. So Jesus is talking to that crowd, and he tells this story, and it's found in Luke 15. I'm going to read it a little bit, but as the story you may have heard, commonly called the story of the prodigal son, but he's telling this story, and he tells the story of this young son that he wanted his father's inheritance, which really is a significant way of just saying, I just wish my father was dead, because that's the only way to get the inheritance. And so he goes to his father and demands his inheritance, which is saying, Father, I wish you were dead. I just want your money. Now, it's important to note that Jesus is making the story up, and he's doing it to illustrate what God is like. And so this is so mind-blowing. So the son demands his father's inheritance, which is like a middle finger F you to the father, which represents God, and just takes the money and leaves and goes and does whatever he wants to. As he's doing that, he blows all the money, okay? He blows it on just being stupid, as I say, modern-day translators, just spending on strippers and cocaine, and just like blew all his money. He then wakes up one day, and he's sleeping with the pigs, okay? All right, he's literally sleeping with pigs, eating what the pigs are eating. And he's like, I've hit rock bottom. I've blown through all my father's money. I've embarrassed my father. I've disgraced him. I've dishonored him, like all this stuff, okay? And then he realizes, you know what? My father's servants have it better than I have right now. Maybe I could go back to my father and beg my father to be a servant. And so that's what he decides to do. Is that he's like, I've hit rock bottom. Maybe my father will let me be his servant. I know I'm not worthy to be his son again. I know that I've done so many things wrong. I'm just going to beg to be a servant. And so this is where we're going to pick up in Luke 15, verse 22. The son comes back, and in verse 21, he says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And what I want us to read is this is how the father reacts. And again, remember, Jesus is making this story up to illustrate a point that, unfortunately, why is this important? Before, I want you to be on the edge of your seat as I read this, because unfortunately, too many of you have not heard this, okay? You want a better life, okay? What is the problem? How do we get a better life, okay? Too many times people talk about the sin and these problems you create. You're blowing all your money on sugar and cocaine. Okay, like, you know, we just hear that. And we hear the condemnation part. I sin, I mess up. That's it. Okay. She's like, no, that's only the first half. Check out what Jesus says. Okay. Like, this is so, again, I read this and I'm like, you can't make this up, okay? Yeah. Nobody would make this up. This is not how anything else has ever come into the world. This is brand new, okay? It literally fits no category, okay? Because, again, we're getting there. But I want you to put yourself in the father's shoes. Your son comes to you. Your brother, your sibling, somebody comes to you. And they blew all your money. They said they wanted you dead. They did all this. They come and say, hey, I've sinned. Okay, I didn't make a mistake. It was way past a mistake. I've sinned. How are you going to respond? I don't know how I'd respond. I'd be like, yeah, you're damn right, you sin. Okay, like, I'd go hard on them. Okay, right? This is how Jesus says, God, your heavenly Father is going to respond. Jesus is making this up to illustrate how God would respond to you if you did this. And you need to know this. He says, but the Father said, again, this is how God reacts. This is so amazing. But the Father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. Hold up. You're not going to ask. Okay.
Party?
What? Okay. He didn't even address the son. The son comes and says, Father, I have sinned. And the father goes, get the clothes for this guy. Get the food. Get
the
party.
We'll
get the DJ. Like, we're going to turn up. Okay. Whoa. Hold up. Oh, okay. What is happening right now? Father. Like, okay. Okay. Jesus. Like, I know you're making a story of me. You're Jesus. I'm just me. But like, don't you want to know where he's been, what he's done, where's all the money, why you smell like pig, okay, like what? You're throwing a party? What's happening? Father says, this is why. For this son of mine was dead. What do you mean dead? He's right here. No, he is dead to me. Relationally, we didn't have a relationship. He was dead, but is now alive. What made him alive? Nothing's happened. Like, literally, all that's happened is that he said he sinned. Exactly. Okay. This son of mine was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. And so they began to celebrate. What made him alive? Literally, all that happened is that the son said, Father, I have sinned. And the Father, which represents your heavenly Father, says, let's party. Okay. I don't know. Like, what? And it's because The Father knew that the Son admitting and confessing that he didn't just make mistakes. It's so much bigger than mistakes. Yeah. That the Son admitted his sin. What can happen now? Restoration of the relationship, which is all your Heavenly Father wants. That's all your Heavenly Father wants for you, is restoring your relationship with each other. Restoring a relationship with yourself and a relationship with those around you. And so they partied, okay? The father, I just can't picture the scene. I mean, I can only picture the audience like, that is not how a father would react.
Right?
Like, that is not what I would do at all. But Jesus said it. And here's the thing. There's something in us that resists this, okay? So you may be resisting this. One, if you're a Christian, even growing up in church, or you've experienced church, or wherever you're at and that stuff, there's something in us that resists this, because we're like, oh, hold up, this is way too simple. Okay, literally the son, let me just see if I get this straight. The son shows up, says, I have sinned, and the father says, let's party. Hang on. I feel like we skipped a bunch of steps. Didn't he pay his father back something? Didn't he do something to do? No. It literally, you can read this for yourself. Luke 15. 21, start verse 21. Okay. I have sinned. Father says, let's party. And it seems way too simple. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the other side that resists this is that's not what you've experienced.
Right.
You did experience that, where you say, yeah, I know I've messed up. And you're like, you're dang right, you messed up. Now you need to do this, you need to do this. And people are just throwing stuff on. And like, there's something in us that resists this because it seems too simple. Okay. We want to add, yeah, but you got to also, okay. And like, you know, the son probably had a gambling problem or something. He just blew through all this money. Okay, like, we need to fix that and address that. And the father doesn't even address that. He throws the party. There's something in us that resists this. And so, you know, as we start to wrap up, my takeaway for you, as you're, again, remembering this, we want to help you have a better life. We really believe Jesus would help you with that. We want you to evaluate that or reevaluate that. And this is the thing to wrestle with. You can disagree with everything I've said, okay? And that's fine. You can do that. But what I want to encourage you to think through, wrestle with, and, you know, try to engage with is, what if it is as simple? What if this is the first step? Because, you know, again, none of us, like I hope that we realize that there's something in us bigger than a mistake, okay? That we're not just mistakers. Like, you can't fix yourself. You've been trying to for 20 years, okay? You can't fix yourself. So what is it? What is that problem? And Jesus would say, the problem is you're a sinner. We have a broken relationship. But hold up. Don't worry. You admit that, we can start working towards restoration. Actually, not even working towards. We are restored when you admit that. Okay? And it may take you the rest of your life to forgive yourself for the things that you've done, the things that you know you've done. But you need to know from day one, and our relationship is restored.
Yeah.
Here's where I'm going to close, because I know listening right now, there's going to be two reactions. There are people like, Nate, I'm all in. I want to talk about it more. Hit us up, okay? Then there's the reaction like, Nate, that's fun. Sarah, Nate, you guys are kind of engaging. I've been watching this TLR stuff. It's interesting. But, you know, I'm just going to stick with I'm a mistaker, okay? Like, it's more comfortable for me. It's just easier for me to digest, and I get that. Okay, I do. You just need to know, as I said, that admitting you're a sinner is the step to restoration. But you also need to know that even as you wrestle with that, even as you engage with that, even as you're like, I'm not sure I believe this, Jesus is there, and he's ready for you to admit that, and it is fine for you to wrestle with that, and it's fine for you to... This is only week two, okay? Like, we have a lot more to get
to. Get ready.
Okay? And so, you wrestle with that on your own time. That is fine. You want to talk, let us know. But if you're also like, this is the first time I've ever heard something like this, and I don't know if you're right because my priest said this, or my pastor, or my grandma, or whatever, I understand that. But just know that if, you know, this idea of admitting your sinner, and it just seems too heavy, just know that I really believe if Jesus was here and he heard the way that people like me have used sin to hurt people, to weigh you down, to just make you feel guilty and condemned and just leave you there, that Jesus would be like, what? That's only the first half. No, that's not even the best half. Like, the second half is so crucial and so important. Yes, you're a sinner. Of course you are. You all are, okay? But I don't want you to stay there. It's just like every other relationship. You admit that there's a problem, we can now be restored. That is what your Heavenly Father wants you to know. It is my hope that that's what you know. And so wrestle with that, engage with that, but that is the problem. And as we look and you evaluate, is Jesus worth following? Is this true? Is this not? This is the problem that Jesus came to restore. And it's the problem that we're going to be wrestling with and looking at in the weeks going forward. But we would encourage you to not do that alone.
Yeah, I think that's so amazing that throughout all of this, we've been asking the question, how can I make my life better? What do I do with all the pain and the brokenness in the world? And we talked today, we're part of that brokenness. But what's so cool and what we talked about today, that when we admit that we're part of the problem, when we admit that we're sinners, that's when restoration happens. And I think that's so cool and so amazing because we're not meant to just sit in that brokenness, but there can be restoration and there can be healing. And if you want to talk more about that with other people, we'd really encourage you to join a community group. And you can find information in the description down below and to the chat box to the side. But a community group is just a place where you can have these conversations, where you can wrestle through what we talked about today or what we've talked about before, or where you can just have conversations about life and faith and everything in between. And we think that community groups are so important because life is better together. We aren't meant to go through life alone, but we're meant to go through it with a community of people where we can have conversations and where we can help each other and where we can talk about restoration. And so I would really encourage you to join a community group. They're super fun. You'll make awesome friends. And yeah, so join a community group. Sign up right now.
Do it.
Click the link. Click the link.
Hey, in the meantime, okay, this is so important. Yep. Okay. And seriously, don't miss this. Okay. Bring it in. Come on.
Stay awesome.
Bam! You stay.
still here? What are you doing? Man, wasn't that video so good this week? Look at all these notes I took. Like, oh, gosh. So good. Well, hey, listen. Since you're still here, listen. Could you, like, comment, subscribe, you know? Like, I think there's going to be an icon that pops up, like, in this area. Maybe a video over here, like, watch another video. If you could like, comment, share it with friends, all that stuff, you know? And just, you know, honestly, here's the truth. Sarah gets all of her validation from that. And so, like, one time we got zero likes on a video, and she was a mess for, like, a whole week just crying every day.
What are you talking about? That was you. You were on the floor crying.
You said you weren't going to tell anybody. Oh my god, that is so embarrassing. Okay, it doesn't matter who it was. Listen.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Listen, you guys just like, comment, subscribe, you know, share. You know, you know people that should watch this video, so like, you want them to watch it. So, you know, thank you guys. Like,
let the people go. Come on. It's time.
Okay, right. I just miss them when they're gone.
I know, but it's time.
Okay, okay. All right, bye guys. Bye. Love you guys. Like, comment, subscribe, you know. Yeah, do the thing. Like, for real. Okay, bye. She's gone, so it's just us, okay? I gotta hurry before I get in trouble.